Welcome to Life Church. We are an Acts 2:42 community, a family on a mission to bring the life of Jesus to Warrington. We hope you're ready to hear what God has to say to you today through His Word and by His Spirit.
I've got a bit of a cold as well, so I need a bit of sympathy. So need a little bit more, please. Karen, come on. Need some sympathy this morning. Yeah, it might even turn into man flu, but I have done a test. It's okay. It's not COVID-19. I think it's COVID-10, whatever that was. Thanks for coming, everybody, along this morning. And I'm going to be speaking about the kingdom of God this morning, and particularly who are the prisoners. And this has been a great series. I think when this started, I didn't really get it. I didn't really get at what the kingdom of God was and where that sort of fitted in with my life. And over the series, as we've listened to people preach, I've sort of got that I live in the kingdom of God. But sometimes that gets a bit difficult. Now, when I'm in this environment, I've got the kingdom of God. I've got you guys around me. I can worship. I can read the Bible. I've got that support. And we're in a great church because there's loads of activities that we can get involved with that help us all the way through the week so that we're in that kingdom of God. Yeah, and Juice was great on Friday, and that's the kingdom of God for me. Those kids, and we've had to close that down for so many months. And we had a great time on Saturday morning, the men's breakfast. That for me is the kingdom of God. You know, we're there, we're having a bit of a laugh, we're having some nice breakfast, but we're also talking about, we actually spoke about the kingdom of God and what that meant for us. And we went round and just had that discussion. And that was great. But sometimes, I sometimes feel like I'm not in the kingdom of God. And I think that's what's important about this message this morning, that because when we're at work tomorrow, or when we're going to school, or when we're crossing the car park into the office, or we're getting off the bus, or we're getting into school, that sometimes that doesn't feel like the kingdom of God when we're in that environment. And what's important about this message is that something affects us, something changes us today that we take in there so that we take that kingdom of God in there. So that might just be, I'm going to start my conversations differently. I'm gonna speak differently. I'm not gonna go down that avenue. When it's my turn to talk, I'm not gonna say whatever happened, laugh at that joke, whatever that is that starts to sort of move us away from the kingdom of God. Yeah, and I think that for me was really what I've taken from this kingdom of God series. Now, there's nothing special about me stood up here. Okay. In fact, I feel quite unworthy speaking this morning. I've done a lot of stupid things in my life, and I've upset a lot of people. But by the grace of God, I'm here this morning, and I'm here to speak to you. And God's a forgiving God, and through Jesus, then I'm redeemed, and I can stand here this morning. So let me start off. I think what we should do first of all is just read that scripture again. So if you just change the slide, and we're going from Luke 4... 16 to 22. And what I want to do is just talk about the context here, because I think with the context of this, we learned a lot about Jesus. I really loved this bit, so we can actually see a bit, learn a little bit more about Jesus, because we want to be like Jesus, and important to understand what Jesus does, and these things show his character. So reading from verse 16, he went to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And on the Sabbath day, he went into the synagogue as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Unrolling it, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor, and he has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of everyone in the synagogue were fastened on him. He began by saying to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." All spoke well of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came from his lips. "Isn't this Joseph's son?" they asked. And there's a picture there that shows maybe what that was like, what that situation was like. Jesus went to the synagogue as was his custom. Jesus went to church. Yeah? And that was his custom. That was his habit. That's what he did. Now, the synagogue is a bit different to this. The Jews have an awful lot of rules. Their Sabbath is, I think, is actually on a Saturday, but it's similar to church, but they do this all day. So the synagogue is open, and what happens is people go along and they sit there and they discuss things. So it's not like our sort of regimented church starts at 11, it finishes at 12, we get home, do the roast dinner, sit down, watch songs of praise, whatever we do on a Sunday. The synagogue was open all the time, and this is what they did. And because their rules were so hard to follow, that's all they had to do. The only thing they're allowed to do on the Sabbath was to go to the synagogue. And what you find with that culture, if you've ever met any Jews or practicing Jews, is they like to sit around and discuss things and kind of argue stuff and discuss what's going on. So this is what would have happened. And so Jesus went along and they handed him a scroll and he stood up to read it. Now, I love this because I don't think any of this was a coincidence. Now, you might have a favorite scripture. And there's something of scripture that you've got that's over your life, and you refer back to it. It sums up a lot of stuff that covers your life. And I think Jesus knew he was going to be reading this morning. And I think this scripture shows a lot about Jesus' character. I've got a favorite scripture, and it sums up a lot about me, and I live by that. And if this was Jesus' favorite scripture, this, I think, is just great, because we really start to see a bit of the character of Jesus and what he's about. And Isaiah 61, which is what he read, it sits over so many of the ministries that we do, helping the poor, helping the needy. And this was Jesus' character. This is what Jesus wanted to get over. Now, Nazareth was where he was brought up. And he had a kind of love-hate relationship because he was a carpenter. And so he would have been alongside these people, and he'd probably made furniture for them or made parts of their houses or their roofs or that sort of thing. So he was the carpenter, and here he was strolling into the synagogue, picking up a scroll and reading it to them. Now, if you read on this story, it all goes a bit crazy. And actually, they don't like what he says. And they later on, if you read it, they threaten to throw him off a cliff. Now, that escalates quickly, doesn't it? Now, hopefully no one's going to do that to me this morning. Yeah, and I haven't seen any many cliffs around, so I think I'm pretty safe. But this was the time that he was in, and this was Jesus doing this. And I think we get quite a lot of context from what he's doing. So he was brave standing up and doing that. He knew what he was going to do. He knew the nerves he was going to touch, the buttons he was going to press on that day. And so I think we also get that from because he reads this scripture. And it speaks about the poor and the needy. I think we get that thing from Jesus, which is that quite childlike view on the world. He loves children, doesn't he, Jesus? And he often refers to them in his stories and in his parables. And children, for him, were important because they see the world differently. We love our kids, don't we? And they pick up on things that we're a bit immune to, we're a bit hardened to. Sarah told me a story about Levi when they recently went to London. And I think Libby went as well, didn't you? You were in London. And you can imagine Levi in London, sort of the big buildings and all the cars, and there's a Ferrari, and wow, this is amazing, and the trains and all that sort of thing. But they walked past a homeless person, and Levi just stopped, and he instantly, there was a problem. Now, adults, we'll just move on. That's difficult, that's awkward. But Levi was like, no, we need to help this person. This isn't right. He'd not seen a homeless person. He'd not seen someone sitting in a doorway in a sleeping bag. And so we see that, don't we? And Jesus wants to make that sort of thing important. We should pray for that childlike heart, those things that stop us in the street and say, we need to help. And I'm signing Levi up to Vine, so as soon as he's ready, he's got that heart. And that's important. And we should remember those things. So I've got some verses that we're going to just put up. And this shows as well, Jesus, all the way through his ministry, is speaking about the poor and the needy. And that's that upside down church, isn't it, that we see. For him, the poor and the needy were important. So this one, this is Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is... No, that's not it. We've got some more, sorry. That's the answer. So these here. So, blessed are the poor, blessed are the hungry, blessed are you who weep now. Matthew 25, I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. In Mark, you lack one thing. Go and sell what you own and give the money to the poor. This was the rich leader, wasn't it? And the one thing he had to do was to do that, and the guy couldn't cope with it, and he went off into the distance. But this was Jesus' advice to him. And is that humility to become poor? You're rich, become poor, and that's what you need to do. In Mark, a poor widow came and put two small copper coins. Truly, I tell you, this poor widow has put more in than all of these. So that giving and that heart that is, I'm giving everything right now. That and Jesus just picks up on these things and highlights it all the way through. And the last one there, Luke 14. When you give a lunch, do not invite your friends or your brothers. Invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind. So again, we see Jesus' heart for the poor and the needy. And we should remember those things. So my next point is about prisoners, because that's what we're talking about here. So why prisoners? Prisoners aren't something we would necessarily think we could align to. We know what prisoners are. Kids play games, don't they? And they're very early age. My nephews always want to play, and I'm going to put you in prison, Uncle Jez. And they create that environment, and I'm the prisoner, I'm the baddie, and the prisoner, the baddie goes to prison. And so from an early age, we understand about prisons and being a prisoner. And there's a fascination with it as well, isn't there? There's lots of TV programs on about prisons. And we drive past a prison. There's one near here, isn't there, on the way out to sort of Lee and Wigan. And you drive past the big walls. And we know that prisons are places that's a punishment. People have to be taken into prisons and they're locked away. And the normal things of life are taken away from them. They're put in a cell. They're locked away. They can only eat at certain times, exercise and that sort of thing. And that's what we think about prisoners, isn't it? And how prisons work and prisoners. But I think there's more to the word prisoners, and I think Jesus was speaking not only for prisoners like that. Yeah? So just on the next slide then, thank you, Libby. So who are the prisoners? Now here's a list. We love a list. I don't like a list. Lists usually mean I've got to do something. here's a list of, I would say these could, you could view these as prisons. And there's some words on there you don't usually see in church. We could call it sin. So let's look at this list. Sex addicts. This could include things like pornography. And the world normalizes that now. If you, again, like I said, in work, conversations, WhatsApp groups, that sort of thing, pornography is normal, unfortunately. And it's becoming more and more of a problem. But there's an addiction there. And once we're in that addiction, then we feel ashamed. And it's so easy, isn't it, to especially on things like social media, the algorithms that are working on that. When you slow down on a particular picture, then you're bombarded with more of that. And this leads to addiction. And we hear the end result of these sort of addictions of people committing terrible crimes as a result. And if you look back at their history, this comes from that sort of problem. And we need to understand about addiction. I'm part of the Vine Ministry, and we go out and we see rough sleepers. And there's people there that are in addiction. But that's led to that problem of them losing their house and losing all these things. We work with the council, and there's a department in the council that we work with, and the title of that department is Homelessness, Addictions, and Chaotic Lifestyles. And that's a department in Warrington Council. And they look after people who are in that. And as the Vine, we work alongside them and we try and help people that are going through those type of things and try and prevent people from being on the streets and hope to try and rehabilitate people and get them back into what we would call normal life. And chaotic lifestyles leads to that. And definitely from my experience, only a few bad decisions could have led to me being in that doorway. And we're all that few bad decisions away. And if we have a chaotic lifestyle, if our accounts aren't good, if we're not spending our money wisely, things can go wrong really easily. So we're all not far away from this type of thing. Shopaholics might be a bit funny, but again, people are addicted to it. People have to have that sense of meaning because they're going out and buying things and shopping, and it can lead to so many problems within the family and that sort of thing. Control freak. People who want to be in control of everything. They want to take control. They want to be in charge. They take over. Adulterers. We know what that means. We know the effect that has, because it's not just us making these decisions. The effect goes through the family as a knock-on effect all the way through. And once you're in that, you feel in that, you feel captive. You feel chained down. You feel in that prison cell that you can't get out of it. Blame shifters, people who just, if the blame's coming towards them, I'm going to find a way of getting away from it. We work with people like that all the time. That becomes their lifestyle. If the blame's coming, I'm going to make sure it goes somewhere else. I'm going to cover myself. I'm going to do those things. Gossip can be, you could think of gossip as quite a small problem, something that doesn't really matter. But it can lead to so many other problems just from having that blasé conversation about somebody and the knock-on effect of what that does, who that hurts, where that goes. Alcoholics. I like a beer every now and then, glass of wine. But you can sometimes feel when you're coming home from work, you make the call to the wife, do we need to pick up anything? I'll get a bottle of wine. And that can be a Monday night, that can be a Tuesday night, that can be, and it slowly starts to build. And it's quite innocent to start with, but then you can feel it becoming that addiction. And the addiction takes hold and leads to so many other problems. And we know people in alcohol problems. And again, we see that on the streets with the Vine, people who are in an alcohol addiction. Lying becomes the norm. We know people who just, you know, will just lie about everything to get themselves into a position where they can move on or be in a better place. Narcissists, so obsessed with ourself. That again, that control freak. That I'm the most important. I'm going to make sure that I get everything I want. Worry warts. People that worry. Everything is negative. That's never going to work out. It's always that plan won't work. We're not going to do that. It doesn't make sense. It's a negative situation all the time. Selfish, angry, arrogant, and these can all take hold of us, can't they? We can call them sin, but are we prisoners to these things? Are we captive to these things? I'm sure everybody here can identify with something there. So when Jesus is speaking to the prisoners, he's speaking to us. He's speaking to you and me. And these are things that remove us from the kingdom of God. And so what do we do? What do we do with this and ongoing? And people that we work with, we need to pray for people who have these, who also have these problems. So just onto the next slide, please. So there's good news. In that verse in Luke, we see that he's anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor and sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. So what is the good news? The good news is Jesus has set us free. Jesus died on the cross. He took our sins. He gave us the keys. The doors are open. The shackles are off. He's given us the keys to those doors and we can walk out. And so we should remember that there is good news. And Jesus is speaking that in that synagogue on that day. He's bringing that good news to the prisoners, to people who are in that addiction. And we should be those people that deliver that as well. We should deliver that good news to people at every opportunity. There's some tough things on that list, and we need to think about them, and we need to pray about them, and we need to acknowledge that they are things and deal with them in our lives. Yeah, so next slide, please. So how do we do this? This is my final point. It's all right talking about the good news. As Christians, we know there's good news. As Christians, we've been saved. But how do we continue that onwards? Because we can't just stop there at good news. And this for me is how we make that work. And I'm saying no. I'm saying no to those things that try and creep into my life. I'm saying no to those things on social media that try and captivate me and try and pull me into that addiction. I'm saying no to having that glass of wine on a Monday. I'm saying, and the way I say no, because it's all right to say, oh, well, yeah, just say no. That's yeah. It's that I die to myself. And Paul speaks about this regularly. You see this in Corinthians. I protest, brothers, by my pride in you, which I have in Christ, Jesus our Lord. I die every day. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. We deny ourselves. He must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. So that's how I say no. I die to myself. And there in Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. And that's what we have to do. And we have to do it every day. We have to die to ourselves. And I've got an example of that. And many of you may know my story, but I was married before I was married to Laura. And that marriage went wrong. And mainly because I was in things that were on that list. That the wheels fell off that relationship, and we got divorced, and it was a difficult time, and I was then single for a number of years, and then I met Laura and we got married. But I don't know if you know, but second marriages are really difficult, and we see this, and second marriages generally lead to another divorce and a third marriage and a divorce and a fourth marriage, and there's a pattern develops. And we struggled when we first got married. And it was because I brought all this stuff to the marriage. I still hadn't dealt with a lot of that stuff. It wasn't a reason not to get married, but I didn't realize I was bringing all this to it. And it all seemed great at the time. But to the second marriage, we really struggled, and we hit a point where we basically had to talk about whether or not we were going to split up. And I remember we went to see Laura's parents in Newcastle. I'll be all right. And we sat down with them, and we had that open, honest discussion. We're really struggling. We can't get on. We argue a lot. I had kids from a previous marriage. Laura had Ellie. And Laura's mum said these words, that we should die to ourselves. And I remember the journey back, quiet in the car. Imagine the atmosphere. And I remember going through that in my head, because I had to make that real. I had to make dying to myself real. Otherwise, I was going to lose this marriage. And so I had to break down everything that was Jeremy, and I had to kill it. I had to kill all of those emotions, all of those things that was making me bicker, making me angry, making me cross. I had to break all that down and kill every single one. And it worked. So hopefully you can get a bit about why I'm saying we die to ourselves every day. And it's easy to get back into the old routines and the old problems. But when those things come up, then we have to pull that in. And I've got to die. I've got to die to this. I've got to become... God is more. I am less. And Laura had to do the same. And it had to be both of us. It had to be both of us making those decisions. And we still do it now, because second marriages are difficult. We've got stepkids, and we've got things that go on, and financial things that we've got to do as a result of that breakdown in the first marriage, and so things are difficult, but we've got to get over that, and that's how we do it, with that dying to self. So that's me done. yeah, I did make it. Thanks. So thank you for for listening this morning. I want to pray, because we need to respond, don't we? So just while you're where you are, let's just close our eyes. Let's thank God. But what I want to do is to give people the opportunity to respond to this. Because maybe there's something in your heart, maybe there's something that's on your mind that you need to deal with like this. And first of all, I want to give people the opportunity to become a Christian this morning. Because the kingdom of God is an amazing place. And if you want to join that kingdom of God, if you want to be in that kingdom of God, you've got to make that step. You've got to pray to Jesus, and you've got to ask him to forgive your sins, and you put your trust in him, and you live in him every day. So let's pray that. And if you want to do that this morning, if you want to pray that prayer for the first time, or maybe as a Christian you need to reaffirm your relationship with Jesus, then pray this with me. You might want to stand, to make a stand before God as a physical movement, or just sit where you are and just pray. But Lord Jesus, we thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for being in that synagogue on that day and doing that brave thing. Thank you that you love poor people, and thank you that you love needy people, and thank you that you love prisoners, and thank you that you saved our sins. And Lord Jesus, right now, we ask that you would save us from our sins. We give our lives to you. We trust in you. Help us, Lord, every day. So if you've prayed that prayer this morning, come and see me afterwards. You're a Christian. You're saved by Jesus. Your sins are wiped clean right now. And I want to pray for other people this morning. Maybe you're a Christian and there's stuff that's on that list that you need to deal with. And I want to pray for that now as well. So again, if there's something in your heart and you want to stand now with me, because I'm standing, then please stand and I'll pray now. Or again, if you don't want to make that stand, pray in your heart where you are. This is important. Holy Spirit, you're here, and thank you for this amazing time this morning with you. Thank you, Jesus, for saving us. Lord, we love it in the kingdom of God. We love living in the kingdom of God, and we know that until we get to heaven, it will always be difficult, and we won't always know that we're in the kingdom of God. We're sorry that we sin. And I pray for those things on that list, that if we are in that, and just pray for deliverance this morning, Father. Pray for a touch of your Holy Spirit. Heal us, Lord. Take those thoughts away. Take those demons away. The devil wants to get involved with that. He wants to dig in. And we say this morning, from this moment forwards, those chains are gone. We've been set free. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that freedom that we have. Thank you for giving us the keys to ourselves that we can walk out. And we do that today. And tomorrow will be different. And as we cross that car park or as we arrive in school, that we will be different. And we will continue that relationship. Father, thank you that you continue to save us every day. And I thank you for this, that we can die to those sins every day. We can put them behind us and we can move forward. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it teaches us everything that we need to know. And thank you for you just spending time with us this morning. We love you, Father. We love to sit at your feet. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
We've come to the end of this week's message. We hope you've been impacted and inspired. Keep up to date with everything that's happening by visiting our website at www.lifechurchwarrington.com.